Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Eddie Gonzalez, Sacramento's own Eddie Gonzalez in the building. And Eddie, look, man, we're going to talk about the Kings, De'Aaron Fox, what he did last weekend. We're going to talk about Philly and what's going on there. I got some questions for you for New Orleans and what's going on there. But a bomb was dropped on us this morning. I had no idea. I had no idea this was going to happen. Kendrick, GNX. So I saw a tweet that you retweeted, and I wholeheartedly agree with. You're not going to hear me say anything drastic about this album, because homeboy said album been out 10 minutes and people talking about oh, the think piece already. All right, settle down. I like to live with the album. I listened to it. I thought it was dope. I like the album, but it's Kendrick Lamar. I like everything he puts out, except for Not Like Us. I don't really like that song. But the album is dope. I like it so far. What you think, man?
It's always exciting to have new Kendrick. New Drake, too, and throw that in there. New any of the big dogs. Mm-hmm. Cole dropped a song a couple weeks back. Excited to hear from any of them. I love it. I mean, I feel like this is kind of like an appetizer. Like, this don't feel like a Kendrick album with all the depth and all of that. Like, this feel like a rap album more than anything, maybe a mixtape. But he definitely tapping into that new, younger L.A. sound, which I appreciate. Look, the old head Pac fan in me is kind of mad he rapped over that song, but
I mean, he bodied it, though. He bodied it, though. And reincarnated. I mean, he went crazy on that one.
I came up on DMX Damien. So if you're going to talk to the greater being or the other one, you got to really go hard. But I like this. I'm enjoying it. I'm going to play it in the gym when I get done here. Again, it's just exciting to have new music. I heard a little rumor it might be a tour announcement soon, too. So
heard the same thing. Everybody
good. A big year for Kung Fu Kenny next year, and he getting started right now.
I heard the same thing. I'm just telling everybody right now, get your money right. You know what I'm saying? You know, get your piggy bank ready, because he may be going across the country in some form or fashion. I'm just telling you right now.
And if it's the way I heard it, wifey got to go to that one too. It's gonna be a little date night. Y'all gonna both have fun.
Absolutely.
I'd probably be announced real soon. I won't be shocked.
We didn't hear the same things. I'm pretty sure.
See.
Yeah. But no, man. I like that. Like you said, it's real. It's real LA. Real LA. And
oh yeah.
I like LA. They get on me on the show because, you know, I like LA. You know, that's like sacrilegious in Sacramento to say I like the city. But I like LA, and I like that sound. Got used to it when I was out there, and it's real LA. You got some of the local, young local dudes on there as well. So I like the album. Like I said, I listened to it one time. I'm not going to say it's a classic or this or that or nothing like that. I listened to it one time. I want to sit with it for – I'm the type of guy, Eddie, I like to sit with it for some months, for some years maybe, before I say – you know, give a final critique of, oh, this is a classic, this and that. But I like the album a lot, man. He did his thing.
Yeah, like, if you follow me on Instagram, I just kind of mentioned that he's definitely tapping into the youngins in L.A. And I don't mean it as a slight. I actually appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I do think it's a little little bit of hypocrisy when it comes to the narrative surrounding him doing that versus as a fan of artists like Money Sign Sway, who passed, not on the album, but Peso and different guys on his album, it's dope to see him do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I come up from when Mac Dre would come to Sac and he would tap in with the mob figures and he signed Roddy J. Clyde and stuff like that. So like we going deep cut now, but I appreciate tapping in with the youngins and the locals. Again, I called out the hypocrisy a little bit, but that don't mean I don't like songs.
right. You know, one of the things that, and we'll get to some sports in just a second, but I got Eddie Gonzalez. Come on, man. Kendrick just dropped. I got Eddie with me. We got to talk about this. You know what I'm saying? Dame will come in soon, man. We're going to talk about it. Kendrick dropped, so we're going to talk about it.
Got to do that.
But, you know, one of the things that I love about music and hip-hop music in general is – like, so for instance, if I'm listening to this album, and like I said, it's real LA, and I can appreciate it here in Sacramento, California, but it hits different if I'm riding in the 110 and I hear the song. And like you hear that, like if you in Atlanta and Migos is playing, like it hits a little different. If you in Houston and you listen to Paul Wall or anybody out there, like it hits a little different. And I remember one time I went and I saw... randomly, this is the most random thing that one of the most random things that ever happened to me. I went to Minneapolis for a wedding, and just so happened my older cousin, I get in or whatever. I'm like, oh man, what's up, man? How you doing? Oh, I'm good, man. Just getting ready to go to the show. He's like, hey, yo, you want to go to the Outkast concert? I said, what? Yeah, let's go. Had extra tickets to the Outkast concert, and I said that to say, Killer Mike was there. This was a long time ago. This was obviously when they were still touring. Killer Mike was there. They play The Whole World. And when he says, I hit the beat running like Randy Moss in Minnesota, the whole arena went crazy. And it's just, I love that aspect of hip hop. When you hear, you know, a line or a song in the city that kind of inspired what you're listening to.
Yeah, I love regional rap, like bring regional rap back. We're from Northern California, man. So we grew up on all that, and we know of all that. And one of Kendrick's influences, I would say, is Mozzie, who's from Sac. So, like, we're used to that. We come from that era. It kind of all got muddied up and bundled together, I think, would say, in, like, 2010. Internet era, Tumblr kids, stuff like that. Now you got kids from Harlem sounding like they from Houston, and now you got kids from South Carolina or North Carolina sounding like they from the Bronx, and like you got all this stuff going on. And I respect that, but I do love a little bit of differences. Mm-hmm. And like you said, when I moved out here, like that Biggie sound a little different when you waiting on the Q train. You know what I mean? Like, so I respect that, and I love that. I love that it has a little bit of regional sound, but again, like my spotty senses are telling me there might be something bigger and more album-like on the way from Kendrick, which I think is great. Yeah. I love that. Like, if we get two drops from Kendrick before the Super Bowl, that's a blessing. So I'm excited. I'm happy we kicked off the convo with this. Usually we throw our music takes in the last 30 seconds. It got to go. Producer yelling at us and stuff.
This was monumental, man, because I think Dame sent me the text. And he sent me, like, a link, an Apple Music link. And I was like, oh, Kendrick dropped a song. I got a theory about that I'll tell you off air. But – Kendrick dropped the song, and I was like, oh, okay. And then I opened it up, 12 song. Oh, he dropped the album. Like, oh, okay. So yeah, that is dope, man. I like, and then like I said, I get to listen to it, and it's a dope album, man. So good to hear.
Yeah, my best friends in Sac, Tim and Marcus, we got a group chat, and it's funny because of the beep, it's a Canadian flag is the logo right now. But it was like, I thought it was fake. I thought it was one of those fake Apple Music accounts or like a SoundCloud or something. And I pressed it. I'm like, wait, what? Like, huh? Because I hadn't seen Kendrick's IG post. I hadn't seen none of that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, again, exciting stuff. Absolutely. I can't wait to go to the gym and play it.
Right. All right, man, let's talk some hoop, man. And let's start here in Sacramento. Last weekend was a weekend for the ages for Kings fans. One of the greatest weekends. Well, if you're a Kings fan, one of the greatest weekends, the greatest weekend scoring wise you've seen from a Sacramento King. De'Aaron Fox, back to back games, 60 points against the Timberwolves, 49 against the Utah Jazz, 109 in 2 days. Kobe had 110. Wilt did it 15 different times, but that's it. When you're in a conversation with scoring with Wilt and Kobe, you've done something special. I'm going to start off with this, Eddie. You've seen De'Aaron Fox's entire career. You saw him when he was at Kentucky. Did you – I think we both in agreement, like, yo, we knew he was nice. Did you ever think he would score 60 points in a game, let alone 109 in two games? Did you ever think he was that type of player?
Look, this is a little bit of a setup question because, you know, I've been banging the De'Aaron Fox drum for a long, long time.
Yeah.
Like I've been saying, he's one of them dudes. He's one of them dudes. He's been one of them dudes every level of the game. 60 is a lot. 100 and 109 in two games is a lot. You know, never quite know what his role's going to be and all this stuff. And we hate that he lost when he scored 60. But right. I'm happy that people are starting to recognize what that young fella's doing out in SAC and what he is. And, you know, I asked the question. I'm still getting replies to it. But I did a list of point guards and said, you know, put these guys in order. Mm. And it was Tyrese Halliburton and Tyrese Maxey and Jalen Brunson and Ja Morant and Trae Young and LaMelo Ball and De'Aaron Fox. Mm-hmm. And I like watched way too many people put De'Aaron Fox at the bottom, and it was like, hold on, guys. Like, hold on.
Yeah.
And we talked about this on this very show, and he's in that group to me, and he's finally showing it. I'm not finally showing it, but I think people are finally seeing it. So
yeah.
It's just exciting to watch a dude do that and click on that level. And I think, you know, It sucks to have DeMar out, but it was a blessing in disguise in that sense. And you guys have treaded water, and now it seems like he's coming back. And hopefully get a run going out there, man. Hopefully get stack some wins and get going.
Absolutely, man. You know, we get frustrated here in Sacramento because we don't feel like De'Aaron Fox gets the recognition that he's – even this weekend, like maybe we're picking nits a little bit, but you saw some tweets – but then, did nobody go crazy on their podcast, you know, the Hoop Collective or anything else like that, talking about what he did, 109 points in 2 days. And we always use that the argument, if Halliburton would have done that or if Joker would have done that, that's all they'd be talking about on these shows and on these podcasts for 3 days. And Fox is like, oh, yeah, that's dope. And you just kind of move on. So we get frustrated with that. But you're in these national circles, right? Like with media members, with players, and all this other stuff. Do you, like, how is Fox talked about in those circles? Like, we may not hear it from Brian Windhorst all the time, but, you know, you talk about, you talk to Tatum, obviously, you talk to KD. Like, do they look at Fox as one of them ones, or do they kind of sleep on him too?
There's a very healthy respect for De'Aaron Fox, especially amongst the players in the league, especially amongst those guards. You know, they all kind of measure themselves up against each other, and they know what that dude could do. They got to guard him. You know, they got to be on the court with him, and they see that speed, and they see the jumper has improved over the last few years. They see the tenacity on defense. You know, Swiper finally led the league in steals, but I think his defense is underrated in general despite that. So them dudes know. You know what I mean? I think media is different. I'm not trying to shoot bail to media, but it is tough to watch every single game when you have a job and your job is to cover, honestly, Steph, LeBron, and KD and that ilk of guy. So I do think he slips through the cracks a little bit. But when you do stuff like that, it's hard to miss that. Same time, too, he's in that conference, man. He's in that conference with Steph and all of these guards who have been perennial all-stars for years. So it's just tough to make that team. I mean, you had CP3 in that conference for years. You got Devin Booker. Like, all these guard spots have been locked up for years. So, you could look at him and slight him and say he's only made one all-star team, but you could also realize what's happening and why that happened. And, you know, it's tough to make those spots, but I think he's going to make a run this year. Hopefully, he'll be out there playing in the Bay.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to see him get his just due.
Yeah.
And I know for Kings fans, and I hate to be this guy,
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Because I've been this guy since the trade, but I'm like, you know, trusted guys. They got rid of the right guy.
Well, like, no, be the guy. No, be the guy, Eddie. Go ahead. No, go ahead. The floor is yours. Be the guy. We're listening.
Look, we're here now, and I don't want to pile on Tyrese Halliburton. I do it a little bit on Twitter, and people get mad at me, but I just didn't quite get it. Yeah. I just didn't quite get the game. And last year, I felt like, all right, well, you got to make the shots, though. So he made the shots. But that, and when you look back, it was really 1 month, and then he got hurt, and you can blame the injury and all that stuff. But they were never the same caliber of player to me. And so have him make an All-NBA team, and what De'Aaron is over there, like, that doesn't make sense to me. Just as a fan, just as an observer watching those two guys play. So I think, you know, we might be finally reaching the tipping point, and Domas has improved so much and been so great, and he's such a hub of that offense. And again, we've talked about the defensive numbers with that starting lineup and all this stuff. You know, if you're a Kings fan, I think you can start banging on the table a little bit, saying, look, I told y'all we won that.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what? The funny thing about that, Eddie, is the trade always gets talked about as, like, they would, before when things were going good for the people opposed to the trade, they would always compare Halliburton to De'Aaron and say the Pacers won the trade. Like, that's not even who he got traded for. Like, it's not like, why are we comparing the two? But I'm with you. I would always say, and I think Tyrese Halliburton is a damn good ball player. Damn good ball player. I think what we're seeing right now isn't going to last. He's going to play better. You know what I mean? He's going to get closer to what we saw the last couple of years. But I've been saying it for I don't know how long. De'Aaron Fox has always been better. He's always been better than Tyrese Halliburton, in my opinion. The numbers bear it out. The eye test bears it out. Now we're seeing the production this year bear it out. De'Aaron Fox was always the better player. Even when they were here together, and if you had to make a move, if you had to split them up, I'm like, De'Aaron Fox, I'm going to take my chances with him, because the talent is he's just a more talented player than Tyrese Halliburton. He always has been. But, you know, for a year or so, people were able to, you know, for whatever reason, even with Fox having better numbers, like, Fox was top 10 in the league in scoring last year, and people were still like, nah, Halliburton better. Like, wait, what? Who else does that? But now, you know, the tables have kind of turned a little bit, and De'Aaron Fox, number 6 in the league in scoring, still scoring at a high clip, and Halliburton having some struggles right now.
Yeah, and I'm with you. Halley's going to turn it around. He'll be a better player as the season goes on, and I don't know if he's just in a slump or it's more indicative of the type of player he is or shooter he is. He's shooting worse from 3 than Russell Westbrook, you know. He shoot 30% from 3 after the All-Star game last year, and that's not a small sample size. It was 26 games to say, okay, he was dealing with the hamstring. Well, at some point he was healthy, and he was 30%. So maybe he's just not this 45% three-point shooter. And, you know, maybe people were understanding a little bit. He can't really go right and pull up because of his form. This is the old Kevin Martin thing, right? This is the old Lonzo Ball thing even. And Lonzo kind of started working on his form, getting it right. So maybe there's more tape and maybe guys are giving it more effort or whatever. But I do think he will be better. I do think he's a great point guard and has great court vision, even if you feel like they play a real stripped-down, simple read style. He'll improve. But I think De'Aaron Fox, like you said, has always been the better player, the better talent. If there's any debate to be had or conversation, I guess it's against the idea that they couldn't play together. I mean, that was kind of the narrative at the time of the trade. But, you know, we'll never know. But I don't know that I agree with that. I think that might have been a miscalculation. But I feel like you got a player that fit better with De'Aaron Fox, for sure. And then definitely better now with DeMar DeRozan. And it it's making sense. Mm-hmm. Like, as simple as that sounds,
yeah,
it makes sense. The puzzle pieces fit together better now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My main man, Eddie Gonzalez, joining us here on this rainy Friday in Sacramento, California. I guess it's raining everywhere. It's raining in New York City as well right now, man. It's that time of year. One of the things that you said that I as a basketball player, as a quote-unquote point guard when I played, I never really understood. And you've been around the game. You played a game. You've been around people that play at the highest level. I don't understand, in a situation like Tyrese and De'Aaron were in Sacramento, how the other just has no idea what to do if they're not bringing the ball up. You know what I'm saying? Like, and people, and it's something we see commonly, and maybe to a certain degree it's a knock on both of them where they couldn't figure out, like, if I'm not bringing the ball up, I just don't know what to do. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to move without the ball. I don't know how to play off the ball. And I guess I'll ask you, do you think that's a real thing where, like, if you got two quote unquote point guards or ball handlers together, that one just doesn't know what to do, or both don't know what to do if they're not dribbling the ball up? And is that like an indictment on both of their games, in my opinion?
I was having this conversation maybe a week ago with somebody. I won't say who. We're talking about two very specific players. I won't say who either because it's going to spoil it. But it's an indictment on the players. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to adjust and do something a little different and make it work. The examples we used in the conversation were James and Kyrie. Now, they only played X amount of games together, but to be two ball handle heavy guys, they were able to make slight adjustments and be able to continue to thrive. And Kyrie kept saying, hey, he's the point guard. Right. And it's happening now again in Dallas. And Dallas has had an up and down season, and Luka's out for some time now, but we watched it last year. It's an indictment of the players to be able to play off ball, to be able to pick your spots, to be able to make those moments happen, to make best use of the time you do get when the other guy's on the bench. I think it is. Now, did the organization feel like it couldn't work? I mean, clearly they traded somebody away. Right. Is that an organizational failure? I mean, you could argue that. I don't think it's been proven that De'Aaron can't play off ball. Mm-hmm. His catch and shoot numbers are good. Tyrese's catch and shoot numbers are good. So it's like, you know, maybe it's a temperament thing. We watch guys, if you know, I mentioned James, but again, James has a bad reputation for when he was in Houston, he would stand at half court with his hand on the shorts when he didn't have the ball and Russ had the ball, stuff like that. And Russ would do the same. So it's specific to guys, but I do think, look, people use Olympic book as the example, right? Mm. Like, mm-hmm. I could play a role on any team, mm-hmm. if I'm good enough.
Yeah.
I think there's some to that, but I never think too many ball handlers is a problem. Right. So I look at Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle right now. They're finding ways to make it work. They're finding ways to share.
Wow.
There is a rhythm to basketball. There's a hierarchy to basketball when you're on the court. But again, good players, good coaches, you got to figure that stuff out. The Kings didn't feel like they could.
Mm.
You know, that's all retrospect. It kind of doesn't matter anymore. And the funny part is, both guys are having to do it more now than ever now. With Pascal Siakam over there, with Benedict Mathurin coming into his own when they play them hard. And then obviously in Sacramento, where Domas has the ball a lot, whether it's at the elbow, top of the key, where he's doing what he's doing, the triple handoff stuff. And then DeMar. And you know, I talked about this last week with Dame, but that fourth quarter in overtime against the Suns, perfect example of how we can take turns, mm-hmm. and we can dominate, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think De'Aaron has grown into that role. I think Tyrese has also grown into that role, and whether they could have done it together, who knows, but I think they could have. It was just took time.
That's what I'm talking about. This is that real hoop talk I'm talking about. I like this right here, man. Let me ask you one NBA question before we get out of here. Philadelphia, first of all, I'll just ask you the question. Are they cooked? Are they done? Can they some people, I think they can get into the play-in. Do you even think they can get into the play-in at this point?
Yeah, I mean, the East isn't so complicated for them. I mean, they have the worst record in the league right now, which
crazy.
Is, you know, you can call it early if you want, but it's the worst record in the league. They weren't supposed to have that right now, and they're losing bad games.
Mm-hmm.
They're not cooked. They have time to climb back into it, but if we get to Martin Luther King Day, when we play, everybody plays that day, and then we're like, And if we get to a trading deadline and they're still like, yo, floundering 11 seed, like, all right, then it gets nasty.
Mm.
I wonder, when I watched them this offseason, I wonder, first off, who were they betting against for Paul George? Paul is 34 years old. I love PG, you know, and I think if you're saying he's our third option here, cool. But the injuries are piling up. Again, he's 34 years old. You're going to pay him a max contract at that time. I don't – unless you're LeBron, Steph, KD, that level, and still doing it at that level at 34 years old, I'm not necessarily handing out max contracts to anybody that age. I'm going to haggle a little bit. But I think, look, the Joel Embiid thing, that's the thing here. Yeah. If we're going to overpay Paul George, but we're going to say he's our third option and we just need 22 a game and we need some defense late, maybe some big shots here and there, that's fine because you got Tyrese Maxey on his original extension and he's great. He looks like an all-star. And you're supposed to have one of the five best players in the league at Joel Embiid. But if this is what he's going to be and he's going to be this injury prone for forever and now he's causing – or not even now, but now we know – it's causing issues in your locker room and your organization. What are we looking at here? Mm. Like, I don't think people realize he's older than Giannis and Jokic. Mm. You know, older than Giannis, if you think about that, like Giannis, he's been here for some time. He's got debilitating knee issues that continue to pile up. They're not going to go away. He's not going to get smaller, lighter, and just his knee better. That's not going to happen. Mm. I asked a couple people around the league the other day, what is the market like even for Joel Embiid? You're talking about an aging superstar on a super max deal with a history of injuries. Mm-hmm. And we've seen what it costs to get a superstar level player as of late. And even if you feel like the market for a superstar is now a little bit less, it's not KD, which was two starting wings, including one potential all-star and five draft picks and then multiple swaps, or you know, the Donovan Mitchell trade was, you know, an all-star essentially, and four draft picks, first round picks, and all these swaps and all this stuff. Even if you feel like it's not that, where is the trade for him that makes sense? And I don't know that it exists. Yeah. Like, so they're in a really weird spot and they got to just get better. There's no way around it. They got to just play better. But I want to say, and I don't know what time we got, but enough podcasts, Paul George.
Yo.
Between, we don't need instant reacts, bro.
No, like, between him and Micah Parsons, there needs to be a pod clause. Put a pod clause in the contract.
Yo, don't get me started on the Cowboys and Micah Parsons saying the scoreboard is not indicative. Yo, y'all got blown out. The scoreboard is indicative of something. Y'all got blown out.
We need a pod clause, man. We need a pod clause in the contracts, man. This is getting,
crazy. We're in the influencer era of professional athletes, and I'm going to be a grumpy old head yelling at the cloud. I don't like it.
No.
We wanted all this access for years, and now we got it, and these dudes are podcasting right at the losses in major leagues in their locker room and say, oh, man, what do you think? Let's react.
Come on, man. Like, no. Talk to your teammates. How about that? Stop talking to the microphone and talk to your teammates for a second. You know, but if we didn't have that, you know, in fairness, Eddie, if we didn't have that, we wouldn't have Draymond letting us know that they want him suspended for ratings.
Oh, my goodness. Don't get me started on Draymond, man. I try to stay out the Draymond convo because, honestly, I'm biased. I admit it. But, yo, Draymond Green. The needle is not moving whether or not Draymond is suspended, man. It might move if we know beforehand Draymond is going to do something suspendable in the game. Right. I might tune in for that.
Right, right.
But if he's not there, that's not changing whether I'm flipping my remote or not. I'm there to see Steph Curry. Come on, man.
That's facts, man. Come on. Eddie, man, I appreciate you once again being flexible, coming on a little earlier today, man. And, we'll be off next Friday for Thanksgiving. We'll talk to you after that. And, you know, I'm always say, man, come on, man. Come back home, man. Where you at, man? We're trying to see you in one of these games. Where you at?
Hey, I'm an old man, so I usually don't do this. Next Friday is my birthday.
Let's go, man.
I wish you was here.
I wish I had
fun,
my soundboard. I give you the air horns. I'll get them to you when you get back, man.
Hey, look, the Raiders going to lose on my birthday. It's not all that great.
Man, that is a Black Friday game. Amazon Prime, that's crazy against my homes. Oh, man, let's go, man. Come on. Hey, man, I appreciate you, Eddie, and happy early birthday, my guy.
Appreciate you, boss. See you soon, man.